This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Looking back, what should we have done after 9/11? The need for revenge was palpable in the halls of Congress as well as Main Street USA, and maybe understandably so. After all, revenge was a natural reaction to the anger, fear, and sorrow of that day. Or so it seemed then. Now, almost 5 years later, this thirst for revenge has broken our military, beleaguered our mission, and bankrupted our moral standing in the minds of many. The goodwill that the world held for us and our attempt to liberate the Middle East was quickly eroded by the invasion of Iraq and the subsequent scandals of Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. Thus, the question must be asked, have we become so blindly obsessed with revenge at any cost that we are willing to compromise our standing in the world community and complicate any possibility of lasting peace? In the discourse following 9/11, there was little room for nonviolence. Unseemly calls for Osama bin Laden to be captured dead or alive were commonplace, and any nonviolent reaction would have been seen as unpatriotic, even treasonous in some circles. But is it possible to seek a violent revenge without losing the moral high ground that is so necessary to win the war of ideas? Would a nonviolent response been in our and the world's best interest? Our distinguished guest today strongly believes so. Arun Gandhi of the Gandhi Institute and the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi argues that a nonviolent response to 9/11 would have greatly helped in building the essential network of trust and cooperation so desperately needed to combat extremism in the Arab world. He joins our Kathy Golden for this interview.
Welcome back to Voices of Our World.
Thank you very much.
I want to ask you, the people of the United States had the whole world on their side for a brief period of time. And when the decision came about that we Americans feel for revenge or their fear became manipulated to preemptive war and such, did your grandfather's lessons come to your mind immediately?
Yes, immediately. And I actually, at every step, even before 9/11, I saw how we as human beings abused anger rather than use that energy positively. And that's what created so much violence in our societies and in our homes there. So one of the purposes of the Institute was to teach people how to understand anger, how to channel that energy, how that is a very important step in learning about the philosophy of nonviolence. And, of course, on 9/11, when I saw what happened, that hit me really hard. And, like everybody else, I was shocked at the devastation that was caused. I couldn't believe that we would escalate violence to that new level. But it happened. And what was even more shocking was our response to that event. And the response, as we can see, was one of revenge. Everybody wanted revenge. Even today, when you read in the papers in this case of the Musawi, the person who was the 20th hijacker or something, and everybody is out to seek revenge. They want to kill him because of his connection with terrorism. Now, that's not going to solve any problem at all. And it's not going to give any consolation to the families of 9/11 either. I mean, they're going to, kill him. And this whole concept about good and bad, that some people are bad and they need to be killed, that's wrong. You know, all of us are good and bad. And we can't go on killing everybody there. And so we have to, instead of harping on the bad of the individual, we should try to bring out the good in that individual. And that is the whole purpose of nonviolence.
Arun, sometimes I think of religion, all religions, as being aimed somehow towards a the peaceful aspect of human existence and wisdom. It's and yet it is so often used. Sectarianism is so often used. We see it in Iraq. We see it everywhere. We've seen it in India. Sectarianism and religion misused for the sake of conflict.
Yeah, because we have created an exploitative society all over the world. Every society is exploiting somebody or the other, materially, philosophically, religiously, socially, culturally. In every way, we exploit one another. And so in order to exploit people religiously, because that is the most effective way of exploiting, people have faith in religion, and they want to hang on to that in this kind of a world. And if we manipulate religion, then we can exploit the people. And so we have misinterpreted religion, all the religions, and brought into religion this whole culture of violence that dominates our thinking. And so we have made religion a very violent philosophy rather than a philosophy of love and compassion, which is the root of all the religions. Respect, love, understanding, compassion. These are the foundations on which all religions are based. But we have forgotten the foundations, and we use and misinterpret religious scriptures to promote our exploitative purpose.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking with Arun Gandhi, grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, and founder of the Gandhi Institute. While our military struggles with the insurgency in Iraq and the Taliban is slowly rejuvenating itself in Afghanistan, we are forced to re-examine the efficacy of this short-sighted lust for revenge. Namely, can you win hearts and minds with lies and bombs? Our guest today contends that in order to establish meaningful global relationships based on trust, compassion, and respect, you must show a willingness to listen and demonstrate the ability to put aside naked self-interest for the sake of mutual understanding. Sadly, these qualities are largely missing from America's foreign policy in the Middle East, and we continue to pay the price for their absence. We continue our discussion with Kathy Golden and Arun Gandhi.
I sometimes think that part of the lion's share, maybe, of the United States economy seems to be part of the military, industrial military complex.
Mm-hmm.
With them at the helm, in a sense, driving the economy, how do we ever make the other side of humanity, the other approach to life, enticing?
Well, that's where we have demonstrated to the world that we are a superpower in terms of our military strength and in terms of our material strength. Now we need to show the world that we can also be a superpower in terms of our moral strength. And that's when the real test begins. And I hope that someday we will wake up to that and change our foreign policy from doing what is good for the United States to doing what is good for the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, Arun, you've paid a lot of attention, besides what's going on in Iraq, etc., to the violence that broke out in Islamic countries over those cartoons that were published provocatively in a Danish newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the issue, as much as freedom of speech matters to me, as much as that is a very high value, I question what the Danes did in this case. It seemed pointed towards provocation.
It was absolute provocation. There was no speech involved. There was no freedom involved. And besides, you know, I think that we cannot really enjoy freedoms if we do not have respect for others. Respect and understanding for others is very important. And unfortunately, today everybody talks about freedom, our freedom, and they want to enjoy those freedoms, but nobody wants to respect others or respect other people there. And And that's the tragedy.
In fact, that brings me to, I think, one of my favorite pages on your website, and that is how to build good human relationships. And I marked some of them because it occurred to me that these would be excellent lectures or lessons to the Bush administration. Do what is right, not what is easiest. Do take responsibility for your action or inaction. Do understand that you can be wrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to expand on some of those do's and don'ts, Arun?
Yes. These are some of the things that we have to remember when we try to build relationships with them. They're very important. You know, we always look, when we do anything, we look at it from our own perspective. How is it going to benefit us? We never look at how it should benefit society, how it would benefit everybody else or a majority of people. I mean, it's obvious from what President Bush did in, after 9/11 and subsequently. He is always looking at what's good for the United States and not what is good for the rest of the world.
We're headed towards a midterm election year in this country, and in 2.5 more years we'll be heading towards another presidential election. And I think in the way American society is based today, the two best ways we have of voting our values is in the voting process and in where we spend our money. What would you want to say to people listening to us today about expressing a real value?
Unfortunately, you know, I am at a loss right now because the Democrats and the Republicans, the two alternatives that we have, are so close to each other philosophically that one doesn't know which party to vote for. And so it's a very, very difficult time for American people. I would think that the best thing to do would be to decide on the individual in this case. And any individual that has greater amount of compassion and is willing to work for peace needs our vote. That will be the greatest tribute we can pay to the culture of nonviolence.
In the words of William Shakespeare, a consummation devoutly to be wished. That would be lovely. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on Voices of Our World, Arun.
Thank you very much.
Tell us what you think. Does Western foreign policy bear any responsibility for the violence in the Middle East? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. S. Asmat Hassan and Arun Gandhi are just two of the voices of our world. I'm your host for this week's show, Eileen Bott. This show was produced by Michael Ramadan Jones. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org. where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.